like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Man, I wish I was in a good mood today. I tried to be. I came down the steps. I was in a perfectly good mood. And then I got into the little pre-show talk and got my blood pressure up. So let me wipe the blood out of my eyes here a minute. Let me put the smile back on my face and say good morning to all of you. If this is the day the Lord has made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And what a day to be alive. The last day of February. That means tomorrow is March. And that means we're 21 days. You know what I think I'm going to do? That's just hit me. On March 21st, that's the first day of spring, isn't it? I think I'm going to broadcast live and figure out how to do it. Broadcast live from the Circle Mound when we can see the sun come up right in that opening in the Circle Mound. That's an experience. I'll file that one away for you. File that one away. A lot going on, man. I told Michelle before I came down here this morning, I don't want to talk about abortion again. I don't want to. This is turning into abortion, anti-abortion central, and it's infanticide, and we all know that. And I don't want to do that like fifth straight day on. So please help me move off of that. We all know how important that is. We all get it. We all understand. That's where the battle is raging right now. It's important that we stay focused on it. But I want this show to be so much. I don't want the show to be everything that I'm against. That gets boring after a while. And when I do a show that's basically on stuff I'm against, it's reaching a small audience maybe. A small audience agrees to me, but I'm trying to expand the kingdom here a little bit. So you're welcome to come in. This is not a flea flicker Friday, but I got some flicks I want to throw out there, and then some other stuff maybe that we've been hiding behind. Don't forget Allentown, Pennsylvania, this Friday. Well, we're going over on Friday. Mike Blake's going over with me. Anybody in this Columbus, Ohio area who would like to go with me, you're welcome to go. Just let me know. We're going to leave probably 2 o'clock or so Friday afternoon, drive over, spend the night over there, go over and do the regional huddle in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which Bobby's put together at the Holiday Inn Express and Suites in Allentown West, and do our thing. It's scheduled from 9 until 3. We don't know how long it will be. And then when we're done, we're going to drive back home and sleep in our own bed on Saturday night. So, again, if you're anyways near there, please come and try to join us, because we're trying to connect people together, put people together. We had a really, really productive – the last time we were out in that area, we had a really, really productive meeting. We want to be able to build on that. Mark Trump, I wish Mark Trump could come up, but he's committed to be with David Arthur this weekend. Like, you know, we support David Arthur and what he's doing down in the North Carolina area. So I always enjoy having Mark with us, but he's going to be down there. And bless David and everything he's trying to do down there. David, are you in here, David, that you can maybe just tell everybody that maybe who doesn't know exactly what it is that you're going to try to do down there? Are you in here, David? He may not be. He's got doctor's appointments all the time, man. So, you know, he's walking his way through it and doing well, but that's what David's going to do. And then don't forget, the event, and Rob Pugh's event in Marshfield, Wisconsin. It's another big one for us, folks. And that's coming up the following weekend in Marshfield, Wisconsin, Wisconsin Christian News. If you're anywhere in that area within a few hour drive of it, please try to get there. Good stuff. You guys have heard Bradley Dean on the show. We've had Dan Fisher on the show. Mike Spaulding joins us all the time. Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman, by the way, both going to be up there for it. And then in addition, I believe he's brought in John Diamond, who was on here with us the other day, and a couple others. So, you know, if you're in that area, man, get up there and support Rob and support what's going on, because it's hard. It's so hard, folks. It's so hard to get traction. It's so hard to get the ball moving. Man, that's in my experience, that's where the greatest frustration comes. Just getting it going. Trying to start something new, trying to wake up people around you. It's labor intensive, man. It's hard to do.
And hey, I just hey, coach.
I just say to you that the word says that we let us not grow weary in well-doing. So it must make us tired. Doing good stuff must make us tired. It says, let's not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, when I hear that verse, there's a couple things that pop out at me. Doing good is going to make you tired. Don't get weary. Okay? But also, if you continue on down there, it says, in due season you shall reap if you faint. In other words, in the perfect timing of the Lord, what you're doing is going to have life in due season. You don't want to pick your crop before it's full. You don't want to abort your crop before it's completely. You with me? So I just want to encourage you out there, and you know, I wish I could blow some air into your efforts and your ministry and what it is that you're trying to do. I'd love to be able to do it. I'm willing to come, be part of it, invest financially in it. But it's just some hard work getting that ball rolling. So I want to encourage all of you that we'll help you the best we can. Don't get discouraged. Keep doing it. And good things are going to happen. You know, Denny Bryan, he was kind of an unusual situation because there were a lot of people that showed up at his events, first couple of events he had. Not always going to be like that. And I imagine if Denny would be honest with us, maybe 150 showed up, but there's only 10 or 15 that stuck. So it's, you know, it is what it is. Don't get discouraged, man. Just don't get discouraged. I think need to become wiser in how we fight, and I want to talk a little bit about that as we go. So there are two good events coming right up that you can help get involved with. Now, Victor, you can come on in.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I was going to remind people that today the case against Save James is going to happen today at about 1:30. 1330 for all my brothers that are vets. They're in Dallas. I haven't really gotten to the address, but it's going to be there in the Dallas area. They're going to go ahead and decide what kind of Hades they're going to put that child for 2 years, because until he's eight, that's when it's actually going to happen, that they try and make them gender fluid or whatever.
Well, hey, Vic, I have a good question, and maybe this is a good jumping off from today's show. See if I've kind of, yeah. Why do we seem so powerless? Maybe I'll try to milk the crowd a little bit today. I got something somewhere I'm going. Why are we so powerless? The children of God, all power is given unto me both in heaven and earth. Matthew 28, go there, Jared, just so that everybody knows that I'm not making it up. Because there's a lot of misteaching that the world belongs to the Satan. Satan's the god of this world. All that stuff. But we know that when Jesus was crucified at the cross, what did he say? It is finished. What is finished? 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. It's finished. He has destroyed the works of the devil. Now it becomes an individual fight for all of us to get our victory over sin. He's given us the victory. We've received the victory. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but not I. Christ lives within me. So we've got the victory over. And we have to walk it out. We have to walk out our own salvation. And Jesus said, Matthew 28, when he's getting ready to leave his folks, it's up on the screen. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, folks, can you tell me, please, all. See that word, A-L-L. All, I think, I'm not a great linguistist. I'm not real good with words. I'm pretty good with words. But I think all means all. I think. I'm not sure, but I think that if my wife says to me, did you eat all of the hamburgers? That means every hamburger that was there that I ate. And if I didn't eat all of them, I would say, no, honey, there's two of them I put in the refrigerator. So Jesus didn't say, some power is given unto me. Now there's some in the refrigerator for the devil. He has some of it over there. But otherwise, all power is given unto me. He said, no. All power, like all legislative, right? Courts have no legislative power. Why? Because the Constitution says all legislative power, Article 1, Section 1, all legislative power. All power has been given unto me. All legislative power. Courts cannot make law because why? All lawmaking power has been granted to the Senate and the House. All of it, right? So Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. All of it. Satan doesn't have, folks, I'm sorry. If this screws with your theology, Satan has no power. He has no power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. It is finished. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Jesus hangs on the cross. He said, I did it. Boom, it's done. It's finished. What is it? He destroyed the works of the devil. Folks, the devil has no power in this world. The only power he has is what we as believers grant him. Now, does anybody want to argue with that real quick before I move on? I think this is so critical for us to understand.
I think so it's more than just that power that we grant him. It's power that we give him back.
Larry, that's really good. That's really good. It's power that we seize and give back to him, right? So if there is no power, if we have no authority in government, it's not because he doesn't have the power. It's because we haven't seized the power and given it back. That's why, I see. And the misteaching, I think, the misteaching that we're getting in the Bible is that the world belongs to the devil. The world belongs to the devil. The devil's in control. Well, see, the devil, guys, you do know this, don't you? You do know that our schools used to be somewhat under the power of the church. You do know that, don't you? You do know we used to start the day with prayer. You do know we used to use the McGuffey readers, which was all about the gospel. You do know that when the whole thing started out, that Christ was at the center of our public schools. Now, come on here. Come on. How did we lose power in our schools? How did we lose it? Well, we gave it up. Usurpers came in. Evil men crept in unawares, and they said, no, you cannot. There's a separation between the church and state. They made that up out of whole cloth. There's a separation between the church and state. We swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. The schools that we started were now on the outside looking in, no control of it. They force our kids to go there. They force us to pay for it. And we act like we don't have any power. Hey, somebody come in here and help me out. Yeah,
coach. Hey, coach.
Teachable moment.
Go ahead, Paul, real quick. Then Larry. Go, Paul.
I was just saying that in the scripture, the Lord says that we will do greater works than he did.
That's what it says. That's what he says. Paul, even more importantly, he said, all power has been given unto me, and I give it unto you. Go ye therefore. I've got all power. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, teachable moment here. There's no doubt that the Bible says, and therefore it is true, that all power is given unto Jesus, and that he is in control. Now, the thing is, we have to read his word. We have to go through let the Holy Spirit put his word in our hearts and our lives to understand what that control consists of. That control consists of allowing God's created mankind make their own decisions, not force decisions upon them and upon their individual lives.
You're talking about free will, that we all have free will. We all have free will, and so we decide whether or not we will go visit our senator or we will not. But we know this: if we don't go visit our senator, he ain't going to listen to us. And if we don't go to our senator and say, "Hey, senator, listen, all power not given unto you, dude. Sorry, you're our representative. I'm your boss." And until we go and we try to take back that authority, take back what the devil stole, we sing those songs all the time, right? Take back from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violent, and violent men take it by force. In other words, violate, they've taken it, they've come and they've taken it from us. And the teaching that we're hearing in the church is this world belongs to Satan. Folks, that just is not true. It has been redeemed. God so loved the world, past tense, loved it, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, God is now in, he's always been in control. But we have the ability through Christ to claim it back.
Amen, coach.
I'm telling you, they're not preaching that at your church. I promise you that. They're preaching Christian defeatism at your church. That's what they're teaching. Well, Jesus is coming soon. Brothers, it's what the Bible said. It'd get like this at the end. Well, if it's getting like this at the end, then we ought to be fighting harder and harder and harder, which brings me to 2 Timothy, but I don't want to get distracted. 2 Timothy says preach. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 4. I'm sorry. Just got to go where the Lord tells me. Verse 1 of chapter 4. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That doesn't mean the devil's in control and we're supposed to shut up. Because we realize they don't have sound doctrine, we're supposed to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. It isn't a sign or time to give up. I'm not mad. It just seems like. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So therefore, stop preaching the truth, because the end is coming. Jesus is about to return. Just go into your churches. Be quiet. Don't take on any of the issues, because they're not going to listen to you anyway. And Jesus is coming. That's the attitude of the church. Yeah, Vic.
Jesus is coming, and he ain't going to be Mr. Nice Guy.
It ain't going to be pretty, Joe. It ain't going to be pretty. Go ahead, Vic.
Hey, Coach. The thing is that we have wolves that are dressed as sheep, and those are the homosexual community. They've beaten us down. Now it's time to stand up like righteous men that we are. It, you know, the thing is that these sheep, they come, or these supposed sheep, they come in there because they don't recognize their shepherd's voice. So we know that they're trolls. We know that they're fakes.
We invite them in.
Well,
in fact, I was just at a church this weekend where I heard the pastor. I'm not lying. Heard the pastor say that he wanted this building full of lost people. So I heard him say it. He wants it full of lost people. Why? So he can bring him to Jesus. Not that you could bring him to Jesus and bring him to the church. Bring all the lost people in there and he'll bring him to Jesus. That's what he said. Jared, stay there. I was about done with 2 Timothy. I wasn't about done. Trying to make the point. The worse it gets, the harder you preach. The worse it gets, the harder you fight. We've taken this exactly, but look, okay. You ready? Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the Lord is, Paul is giving us a scouting report. This is what it's going to be like. Men are going to marry men. Women are going to want to marry women. They're going to be killing babies. They're going to be casting off all restraints. That's the way it's going to be. Preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Look, verse 5, but watch you. What? If you hire somebody to watch, what does that mean? Does it mean sit on your couch and watch the TV? Well, if you say to somebody, keep watch, does that mean sit on the couch and watch TV? I think keep watch is an action verb where you got you're on the lookout. You call that watch man.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
You're a watch man. Stay with me.
They're kidding, you know?
But watch you in all things. You watch. Endure affliction. Hide from afflictions. Retreat, meet, eat, retreat, and greet. Go back inside your church and hide from the afflictions. No, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Huh? Well, how would you do that? Bring all the lost people into the church and let the pastor do the evangelist. No. Make full proof. Wow. Of your ministry. Boys and girls, as it gets darker, we ought to be amping it up.
Amen, brother.
But see, the attitude of the church is just the opposite. Okay, so I'm in that mode right now. Just bear with me a second. I'm gonna open it up. So ask yourself this. I hear this all the time. I have this little man inside of me that wants to grab people and shake them. I have that. That's the old coaching. I remember the days. Couldn't do it today. I remember the day when I could grab a kid by a face mask. You guys play football. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'd grab him by the face mask and I'd pour his face right to him. Can't do that today. Oh, my goodness. That'd be abusive. Can't do that. Might hurt his neck. That was the best way to get somebody's attention. Man, you grab it, snatch it, and pulled him right to you. Eyeball to eyeball. I like to do that to people. Grab them by the face mask and pull them eyeball to eyeball and say this. Well, Coach, we just need to pray. Just need to pray about it. Just need to pray. Okay. Well, let me posit this. I know we're supposed to pray for people. I understand that. Ready? Here comes the mic drop. Are we ever supposed to pray against people? And when you go sit in your prayer closet, whatever that means, those who love to tell me that they do all this work in their prayer closet, are you praying against people? Are you praying for people? Remember Rush Limbaugh got in trouble about 8-10 years ago, however long it would be now, when he said that that he hoped Obama failed? Said he hoped Obama failed. Got all kinds of pushback for it. Oh, you shouldn't be that. You're for the president of the United States. Everybody ought to be for the president of the United States. And Rush said, I am for the president of the United States, and I know what he's going to try to do to it, so I hope he fails. So are we just supposed to pray for the witches, or are we to pray against the witches? And how much of your hang on a second, Chad.
Okay.
How long of much of your time do you spend praying against the forces of darkness? Can I tell you the truth? Most of you, zero. Come on in, Chad.
Sorry, I guess that was a rhetorical question. But you know, no, that's what's missing is the aggressive nature. We're always on the defense and ask for healing and stuff like this. Where there's witches, they cast a spell on Trump. They were casting spells on Kavanaugh. They're doing all this stuff. So we need to be countering that and putting a hedge of protection around these watchmen and these people in these prominent positions. And then also, it's not enough to just put a defense out there. We counter it by saying, and let it fold back on them tenfold. And that way, hey, they're casting their own spells on themselves. That's the kind of stuff we need to be doing.
Imprecatory prayer. Imprecatory. Jerry, go to Webster's. I credit my wife. She planned to send me as I was coming down. And thank you. Imprecatory. Hey, guys. In your church, have you ever heard your pastor teach the congregation to pray against God's enemies? You ever heard that? Ever. Have you ever heard that?
Never.
Unfortunately, no, Coach. Unfortunately, no.
No. Always pray that they get saved, right? Really? Really. I pray they die.
Yeah, you know, Jesus in his prayer, John chapter 17, he says, I do not pray for the world. If Jesus is not praying for the world, what the heck makes you think you have more authority than Jesus and you have a better way to do it than Jesus did?
Amen. Blair, we got some people that are uncomfortable right now. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just sorry. Go back to your Happy Feet Church. Go ahead. Where you feel good, Happy Feet Church. Go ahead and go there. Listen, I don't know. They call it spiritual warfare. Spiritual. What happened? Are there any veterans in here? Are there any veterans in here? What happens at war? What do you do at war?
You kill people. You win, but it's two-sided.
So in other words, Joe, you just don't shoot blessings at the other team? You don't just shoot your gun at him and say, oh, Lord, please don't let this hit him. Oh, Lord, please bless him over there. Oh, Lord, please help him get to know you, Jesus. Or are you trying to take him out?
Or hey, is coach. It? Let him
bless hit your me. Enemy. Hit me. Bless him your enemy. Let me tell you what. Isn't that kind of like casting your pearls before swine or giving that which is holy to the dogs?
Well, you're supposed to try to love your enemies, but I don't know where it says anywhere I'm supposed to love his enemies. I don't know where it says that. Who will rise up for me against those workers of iniquity, he says. Who will rise up for me against the evildoer, right? Right?
Coach.
So Jared's got up on the screen there. Just a second. Imprecatory. Imprecatory, containing a prayer for evil to befall a person. What? You mean our prayers are to be wishing evil things upon God's enemies? What?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
You just said something very, very key there. You said something about, you know, he tells us to pray for our enemies, but not his enemies.
That's right. I mean,
and you just said something that was very profound. I don't know. That says a lot right there.
That's right.
Well, Jesus identified our enemies as those in our own household.
Who will rise up against me? Against the evildoers. What does that mean when you rise up against somebody? Who will rise? Jared, go to Psalm 35. Right now. Go to
Psalm 35. Hey, Coach, you're in opposition, obviously, you know?
Wow. Pastor Mike just said, Coach, Psalm 35, just as I said it. Yep. Huh? Wow. Wow. Thanks, Pastor Mike. I pulled up there. Okay, now listen, folks. When's the last time that they taught you? Let's say, you don't pray against somebody just because they've been mean to you. That you don't make it personal. Get even with them, Lord. Get even with them. No, you don't ever do a imprecatory prayer. In fact, I've written some things down here. It's a tool to be used against evil, okay? Not against people specifically, but against people who are doing evil. Don't do it for personal vengeance. You don't imprecate. I don't pray against Larry, or I don't pray against Chad. I don't pray against brothers. You don't ever imprecate against brothers and sisters in Christ. You pray prayers with a broken heart. Lord, they are destroying these precious children in schools. Lord, my heart's broken for that, Lord. Give them what they deserve, Lord. And we pray against the enemies of God because we're part of the kingdom of God. So I'm in Psalm 35. Now, you just tell me if this is the type of prayer that what would happen? Can you imagine? I don't know where it would be. Go to some big church and pastor says, can we all pray? And so pastor starts praying this. Oh, Lord, plead my cause with them that strive against me, Lord. Fight against them that fight against me, Lord. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for mine help, Lord. Lord, draw out the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, Lord, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Oh, Lord, let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Lord, let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Oh, Lord, for without cause they have hid from me their net in a pit, which have, without cause they have digged for my soul. Lord, please, Lord, let destruction come upon them unaware, and let his net that he have hid catch him, Lord, into that very destruction. Let them fall. Oh, Lord, and my soul be joyful in it, Lord. It shall rejoice in my salvation. All my bones say, Lord, who is like unto you, who delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoils them. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I didn't know. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, oh Lord, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer turned into my own bosom. But I go on and on and on.
Hey, Coach, if you got it real
people,
quick.
People would walk out of the church if you did that. Yeah, Dale, welcome back. Yeah,
I'm still sick. Go to Psalms 3:7. Another night of purgatory prayer.
Psalm 3, verse 7?
Yes, sir.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. When was the last time we prayed for broken teeth for Planned Parenthood? Okay. And the leaders of Planned Parenthood. Now we pray they get saved. Break their teeth, Lord, then save. Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, you know, this has been a cliche for years in Christianity, but they say, well, what would Jesus need like Jesus, right? Well, think about this. Our Lord and Savior, there was a people group, a very distinct people group called whitewashed tombs. whitewashed sepulcher. He called him a brood of vipers. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Well, see, why is that not taught in churches today? So Jesus was very, he was very targeted there. It was a vile, murderous people group he was talking to. But there is that side of Jesus, and he means business. When he's dealing with his enemies, it's not the real sweetsy love like we've been taught to do in the church.
George, that's spiritual warfare, isn't it? Huh?
Yep.
Verse 26, Psalm 35, verse 26. Let them be ashamed. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me, Lord. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. Psalm 17. I love Psalm 17. Hang on, Jerry. Let's go to Psalm 17. Oh, boy. That's not the one I'm thinking of. I think it's 15. That's not it. It doesn't matter. There's all kinds of imprecatory psalms. Psalm 5, Psalm 10. There they are. 5, 10. There they are. And, folks, when you go into your prayer closet, do you pray that they get saved or that their teeth get busted?
Coach, anyone with any understanding that reads the Bible should know that judgment is God's tool for salvation. And if you don't repent, then it becomes his tool for devastation. It's first... It brings salvation, Coach. It's good. Judgment is good.
The judgment is good. It is the fear of the Lord, right? My grandson and I, David, he's three. I think, I don't know how old he is. But he likes to punch me. And he punched me hard a couple weeks ago when I wasn't ready for it. Punched me hard. And I looked at him. I said, listen, you do that again, and I'm going to make you cry. He said, he kind of put his bump like he was going to punch me. He didn't know. And I said, listen, David, I can make you cry. I want you to know I can make you cry. You know what David says to me? He comes down every morning, comes down. I can make you cry, Grampy. I can make you cry. I said, no, you can't. You can't make me cry. And you know why he doesn't punch me anymore? Because he knows I can make him cry. Hey, boy, the Lord can make you cry. Lord can make you cry. Yeah, Roger.
Is there any biblical support for your opening conversation about your pastor saying, bring all the heathens in here, I want to save them? I don't know of anything that biblically supports that in church.
Well, what is the church supposed to be?
It's supposed to be nurturing the believer.
The gathering of the saints, right.
And then, Roger, then the saints are to go out into the field and reap the harvest or plant the seeds. But your church is not the only one that thinks that way.
It wasn't my church. It wasn't my church.
Well, okay, wherever, bring all the heathens and bring all the trouble and bring the evil into
us. Get them in here and I'll save them. Get them in here and I'll save them.
Right? It's ridiculous. The Bible does not teach that, or please correct me.
Lord, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I hope Hillary Clinton gets saved. But that's not how I direct my prayers at Hillary Clinton. I'm just telling you the truth. Those wicked people. David Arthur's probably got a better heart than me. Listen, I don't pray that those transgendered freaks get saved. I hope they do. But I pray that their evil actions come back upon them and not upon the children. That's how I pray.
Amen, now,
they throw me out of most churches, right? Because they've taught us. We have to just accept them, brother, and pray that they get saved. Really? How's that work?
It doesn't work, Coach.
We got people in church that aren't even saved. We have people in churches that aren't even saved.
They just want more butts in the seat.
Well, that is true, Paul. They do want more butts in the seat, but it is a deeper than that mistreating to think that we're supposed to love our enemies into the kingdom. Now, we are to love our enemies. The boys and girls, that man that dresses up like a girl and goes into the library and reads books to kids, that's the Lord's enemy. That ain't mine. You understand the difference? You understand the difference? That guy on the screen is the Lord's enemy, not mine. And I pray he gets saved. But until he does, I pray everything he's doing comes back on him. I pray he falls into that pit. I pray that the Lord breaks his teeth. I pray that the Lord strikes him with a sickness to shut his mouth. Anybody think that's unchristian? I'm listening.
The word of the Lord says, he who falls upon the rock will be broken, but woe unto him whom the rock falls upon, because he will be crushed like dust.
Mm-hmm.
And in First Corinthians, Paul said to the guy that was a Christian that was having relationships with his dad's mother, wife, he says, I've already turned his flesh over to Satan. That is
all right, Denny. Remember, that's right, Denny. That's right, Denny.
Well, now, Coach,
listen. Go ahead, Dale.
I'm real quick. We have the church has been deluded and fallen from being a seeker friendly position to the being nicer than Jesus position.
We don't even know who Jesus is. We don't even know. Okay, now listen. I'm going to show you this. This stuff, by the way, I got this from Matt Truella, okay? Jared, I'm going to take you through some scriptures because I want you guys to see it too. I want you to understand that there is imprecatory prayer all throughout the New Testament as well, not just the Psalm. Go to Mark 9, verse 42. Jesus Christ himself speaking, 9:42. And what does Jesus Christ say? For whosoever shall give you a cup of water, drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. No, that's not it, Jared. Mark 9:42. Okay, there you are. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. Jesus ain't praying this guy gets saved. He's saying if he don't get saved, it's going to be better for him if they threw him they drown him. He'll be glad they drown him. It's Jesus, not how much he loves him. And go pray for him and anoint him with oil and send prayers and rosaries at him. Jared, go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Did you guys ever notice this imprecation in the New Testament? This is Matthew 10, 11 through 15. 11 through 15. 10. Right there. And in whatsoever city or town you shall enter into, inquire who's worthy. Huh? Just go any place. and there abide till you go hence. And when you come into that house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your word, when you depart out of that house or city, you shake the dust off of your feet, because I'm telling you, boys and girls, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. There's imprecation again. There's an imprecatory, an example, not a prayer, an imprecatory example. Can I give you another one? Sure I can. Matthew 11. This is Jesus. It's Jesus talking, boys. He ain't praying to get saved. You're not praying that. Misteaching, Matthew 11, 21 and 22, Jared. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I'm telling you, dudes, it's going to be more tolerable for you, Tyre and Sidon, at that day of judgment than for you. Oh, this is good stuff, right? Huh? Oh, my
You know, Coach, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You hate the one and love the other. You can't serve two of them. You know that word enemy? The root of that word enemy is hate.
I didn't know that.
Let me jump in here. There was a something I wrote on Facebook in two paragraphs. If you'll bear with me real quick, I was chastised about it. People were arguing with me over the name of Jesus. So I wrote two paragraphs, and then I was chastised over something else. And you guys, this is what I said. The days of nice, cowardice Christianity are over. Sunday morning, church concerts. What is that? All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. The days of nice cowardice Christianity are over. Sunday morning church concerts do nothing in the light of 61 million crushed baby skulls and Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts to the highest bidder. 1.5 billion crushed baby skulls since 1980 worldwide. New York State babies outside the womb. Day of mourning this Saturday. Thousands. Why don't you do something and be a part of it? We have tolerated the destruction of the family and removal of the man from the home, creating dumbed-down kids behaving never before seen in human history. We have given ground to everything the radical left has demanded over 50 years. Here and no more, strong Christian men and women are standing up against the God-haters and the radical left and telling them to go to hell. We can demand the name of Jesus. We can debate the name of Jesus Christ after Christians develop a spine, remember masculinity, and end the crushing of baby skulls and killing babies outside the womb. Strong Christian women will end this. The rest of you can debate issues behind walls, continue reading your best life now crap while attending useless Sunday morning church concerts. If you have not noticed, we have been losing for 50 years. Now, that's what I wrote on my personal Facebook page. I did not put that on the Salt and Light brigade, but I was chastised over that go to hell statement.
Yeah. Well, Jared, Psalm 94 real quickly, Jared. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby's getting more and more bold every day. Like, see, they say, hey, folks, Randy said it earlier. The judgment of God is love. It is love. And just me, okay? Just me. I'm talking for me now. I would be so full of rejoicing and love if Hillary Clinton were to do a perp walk, because it would show that God is king and God punishes the wicked. That would be God showing his mighty arm.
Amen, Coach.
Listen. And I pray she gets saved in jail. Right?
Amen.
You understand that? How many of you are praying for Hillary to be arrested? None of us. We're praying she gets saved.
No, Coach, I pray for her immolation of all the evil stuff she's done, brother. Listen.
So I'm in Psalm 94. Jared, go to verse 15. This is all good. Well, stay right there, Jared. Start with one. Well, I start with one, Jared, because it just caught my eye. Oh God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Oh God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show yourself, Lord. Lift up yourself, out judge the earth, and render a reward to the proud. This is imprecatory, boys. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and they murder the fatherless. Abortion! Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He's saying to us. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastised the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knows the thoughts of men that are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teach him out of the law, that thou mayest give him the rest for the days of adversity, till the pit be digged against the wicked. For the Lord shall not cast off his people, neither, but will his for he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow. Here you are, boys. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had dwelt in silence. And when I slipped, my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And in the multitude of my thoughts within me, the comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? Which frame, how about this? Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? Which frameth mischief by law. Lord, are you going to put up with those who make evil things lawful? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and they condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord's my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity. They're praying to get saved. Folks, they're not praying to get saved. And he shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Now, boys, if I pray that, is that unchristian? Hello?
Not at all, Coach.
No, you're right on.
Why aren't we taught that?
Well, Coach, because a lot of it, you read there Psalms, that's, well, as you said, it's in the New Testament as well, but a lot of people say, well, that's Old Testament. And, we're in the New Testament now. And it's like, well, no, the Old Testament backs up the New Testament.
He's a God of wrath, brother. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of mercy.
They sure read Psalm 23, don't they?
Oh, they love that Psalm 23. They love that one. They love that one for sure. Yeah, they do. Boy, I got so much stuff I want to share with you today. We're winding down here back the last 11 minutes. And so that's why we are unbalanced. Christian church is unbalanced. And again, I hate to use the example of my grandson, but it's just so perfect. It's so perfect. Coach. When my grandkids get out of line and Grampy punishes them, or their mother or their dad punishes them, they immediately, after they've been swatted or whatever's done, they cry, and then they come and they snuggle. Why? Because if you love your children, you discipline. And the children know you love them, and they come back to you, and they want to come back in relationship with you. So you spank them, and then they come and snuggle, right? Hey, folks, we got some people need spanked. If we want them to come back in relationship with God, they need spanked. And only the Lord can do that spanking. Say, Lord, swat him for her. That Hillary needs swatted, Lord. Do you swat her? Go ahead. Is that whoever is trying to come in? Come on in. Is it Jim?
Yeah, Coach, it's Mike. I was just going to say one of the issues today is that modern Christianity is conflict averse. They have an aversion for conflict, and they just want to be liked. They want to be seen as nice, but that's not biblical.
No, it's not.
Love is confrontation, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, listen, folks. By the way, Pastor Mike put into the chat over here a couple of YouTube videos. You might want to check those out. Go ahead, Benny. Thanks, Pastor Mike.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. I just want to say one thing. See, what their plan depends on is for all of us to think evil thoughts. I'm never going to think evil thoughts, so your plan will never work, you freaks. It's never going to work. You're never going to convince me that this nonsense about abortion is a real argument. It's a distraction. We all know. So we're going to win. So understand, you freaks, we're going to fight. You know, we've been taught not to fight, but guess what? We've learned that it's wrong. So we're going to fight and we're going to win. So just get ready, freaks. Get ready.
Amen. And see, I don't know how we got to this point I don't know how we got to this point where we think it's not Christ-like to fight back against evil. Okay, Jared, real quickly, I want to pull this one up here, Jerry. It's not real long. Maybe it's longer than I thought. Yeah. Jared, go to leftism is not just wrong, it's evil. How much time I got? Yeah, I can do it. It says, we cannot afford a lack of moral clarity in our political civil war. Leftism, folks, those who want to read transgenders, want transgenders to read storybooks to kids, it's evil. Not just wrong, it's evil. Until the church comes to that realization that those are the enemies of Christ and we are to oppose them with everything we have, we're not going to get it. Scroll down, Jared. I want to read this very, very quickly. Conservative commentator Dennis Prager, make it a little smaller, please. Once made an insightful distinction between the political left and the right. The right, he noted, generally sees things as wrong, but not evil. Whereas the left sees the right, not merely as wrong, but as evil. This was a valid assessment once upon a time, but as the left has increasingly exposed itself in the Trump era as rapidly illiberal, irrational, and immoral, it's time for the right to acknowledge that the left is not merely wrong, but evil. We'll say it again. The left is not just wrong, they're evil. You say, well, what is evil? Well, let us set theological explanations aside for the moment, settle on a practical definition upon which most can agree. If cruelty means the willful disregard for human suffering, even taking pleasure in inflicting suffering on others, then evil is profound cruelty. It's a malevolence so dark and bottomless that ordinary people cannot fathom it. Psychologists may prefer less highly charged terms to describe people who commit unconscionable acts, but as evil is, as evil does. And what leftism has done over and over again throughout history and around the world is provide a worldview which justifies perpetrating unimaginable horrors on untold numbers of victims. Folks, listen, the promotion of homosexuality has perpetrated unimaginable horrors on untold numbers of people. To be clear, evil is hardly the sole domain of the left. It can inhabit individuals, color, sex, political persuasion, religious belief, but as an ideology, progressivism, the rebranding of communism, progressivism, which is the rebranding of communism, embraces totalitarianism and absolute status control, which always and everywhere leads to misery, corruption, and brutality, and never elevates humanity. Communism never elevates humanity. Can anyone look objectively at the ghastly devastation wrought about by the communists of the 20th century, the gulags, mass starvation, torture, executions, existential fears and hopeless, tens of millions dead and countless more lives destroyed, and not conclude that leftism is an ideology of evil? And add to that its unholy alliance with fundamentalist Islam today to promote the whole of Western civilization, and there can be no doubt leftism is evil. At the core of the true leftist is a hatred for anyone and anything that stands in the way of his or her lust for power over others. The nuclear family, Christianity, Constitution, Donald Trump, etc. As David Horowitz has noted on numerous occasions during presidential debate in 2016, candidate Trump spoke more naked truth about leftists than any establishment Republican would ever have dared when he said that in his opponent Clinton, Hillary Clinton, had tremendous hate in her heart. Let us zero in on specific recent examples of the left's cruel methodology. Keep in mind that the contemporary leftists like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have been mentored either directly or indirectly by the influential metaphysicalian strategist Saul Alinsky in his book Rules for Radicals, whose 13 final rules transformed the left's entire modus operandi into the politics of personal destruction. What was that target? Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Alinsky dedicated his book to Lucifer. Huh? Yeah, he dedicated it to Lucifer. Nothing has demonstrated this evil stratagem quite as starkly recently as what they did to Kavanaugh, which generated into a circus of demonic behavior by leftists gleefully determined to destroy Kavanaugh and his family over a single unsubstantiated accusation, sexual assault, six smears from even the mainstream media that Kavanaugh was a gang rapist, belligerent drunk, pedophile, helped wake up people to the boundless cruelty in which the left revels. About done. Similarly, the pronounced attack on the kids at down at Covington Catholic. Trump deranged former comedian Kathy Griffin called for the doxing. Late night talk show host joked about punching the face of Nick Sandman, the 16-year-old kid. He and his family received death threats. One could list dozens of examples of Trump supporters victimized by leftist violence over more than 2 years. Add to this the persecution of conservative students and visiting speakers in universities, the nihilist thuggery of Antifa, the lawfare of LGBT activists out to destroy Christian bakers and photographers. And can anyone claim that the left's collective heart is not, as Trump said, full of hate? I'll give you more examples. Keep going. I'll give you more examples. Go on down, Jared. Let's get to the final part. The Democratic Party is the face of Moloch, the Canaanite god whom Milton called the horrid king besmeared with blood of human sacrifice. It's a cult of criminality and death. On every political issue, Democrats take the side of chaos and destruction, crime and disorder. They hype the threat of white supremacism while whitewashing Islamic terrorism. They are actively engaged in erasing our history and undermining our rights. They support open borders over national security, sanctuary cities over criminal aliens, and the abolishment of the ICE over law-abiding citizens and legal immigration, infanticide over the sacredness of human life, the dismantling of Western civilization over its preservation. This is not simply wrong, boys and girls. This is evil. And conservatives who believe that it's possible to reason with the left and engage them in a fair and square policy debates are clinging to a failed strategy. You hear that, church? We must accept the reality that leftists have long since abandoned rational rules of engagement, if they ever had any. Instead, they operate from a hate-filled mob mentality, a bloodlust for power, and a complete absence of moral boundaries. We cannot afford a lack of moral clarity about the undeclared civil war raging across the United States of America. Boys and girls, they are the enemies of God. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? Will you quit trying to get them saved and ask the Lord to break their teeth, which might lead to their salvation, or break their teeth that others aren't going to be eaten by them, church?
Hey, Coach, there may be some out there that just can't bring themselves to pray for destruction and harm for others. How about just pray for God's will and see what happens?
Yeah, it's like playing football, not hitting hard. Right?
No, that's letting them off too easy. It's got to be all the way.
Well, that's even worse. That's like playing, it's like tackle football, then it's in the middle to play a two-hand touch, but you need the tackle.
No, then it's worse than that. They get to tackle you, but you only get to touch them.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, let me get this thought on the table. America is a modern reflection of the promised land. Like Israel, we did not finish the job. We let evil remain, and then it breeds among us. We're backsliding. We let the Baal worshippers in the tabernacle, and they're prevailing. We have to rededicate, and we have to prosecute the title of the Lord.
Amen.
He gave it to us.
Amen, Lowell.
Amen, Lowell.
Psalm 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Right there it is, Jared. Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? God bless you. Jesus loves you. See you tomorrow.